episode 395 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic at the Gathering. Whether you're sitting at home jamming some arena or you're Maria forgetting to turn our soundboard on. So this is the second time that I'm doing this intro.
Everybody, we went for about
15 minutes.
15 minutes before realizing we were not recording.
So here we are.
Take two. We've got a great show for you today. Yep. I mean, it's so great we needed to do it twice. Yeah. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And speaking of great shows today, we're going to talk about the State of Design 2020, which is based off of a Mark Rosewater article that he does every single year, looking at the year in review.
Yes.
And seeing like, oh, these were some big hits of the year. These were some big misses. These are lessons we learned. And these are things we're going to be focusing on moving forward in Magic.
That's right. We're also going to crack another waterlogged pack.
Oh my gosh.
So beware. In case you didn't see, over on our Twitter, we asked people to guess the value that we lost because this is an Eternal Masters pack.
Jeez.
So we'll see what's in here.
Yeah,
it is very waterlogged.
It feels like, is there still water in there?
Yeah,
it's puffy.
It is puffy. The Aww. Card's like swelled up with water.
Yeah, we asked people to say how much we lost, and then whoever is closest, we're going to donate that amount to the charity of their yes. choice. So even though it's a sad event, it's also a happy event for charity.
But also, it smells like mildew.
Yep.
The pack from the outside smells like mildew.
Before we start talking about 2020 and design and magic and cracking sad boosters, it's time to say thank you to some people. The first people we're going to thank are, of course, you, everybody who is a patron over on patreon.com/glhfmagic. Thank you a million times over. Welcome to the family. Any new patrons who have joined since our last episode and people who have been here for forever.
That's right. And if you joined back in Patreon Pledge Drive Month, which was March, we are finally mailing our first wave of pins Yay! This week. It was put off first because they could not ship the pins to us because of COVID.
Yep.
And then it was put off because our last office flooded and we just didn't have any materials or heads on our shoulders to think about mailing anything with.
Yeah.
But now that we are here in our new space, I am super happy to get those out to y'all because they are so cool.
They're really awesome.
And we also have, you know, you might be one of the lucky people that we send some extra swag to because
yes.
we've got some sweet swag sitting around.
Some secret sick sweet swag that's going to be like, it's like a golden ticket from Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory.
We're not going to murder any of you.
No.
Oh my God. That is what happens in that book. I'm just letting you know. Because it could
Dark.
Be. It's always vaguely threatening when someone says a Willy Wonka situation.
Yeah. And speaking of our new office, you can tell if you're watching the video version of this podcast, we are further along with getting our new set up. I'm super happy. It looks so great. Big thanks to our friend Alex for helping us get this all set up and ready to go. And thank you to you, of course, the patrons, because you literally make this possible. I'm gesturing behind me to all of this because
all
this would not be here without
so cool.
you. And if you want to be one of those people who helps us, head on over to patreon.com/glhfmagic today and sign up for literal any dollar amount and you'll be part of our family.
Thank you also to Card Kingdom, our wonderful sponsors.
Yes.
cardkingdom.com/glhf, the place to go to let them know that you support us in supporting them.
Nice.
That makes sense.
That
okay.
is right. Yeah.
The support goes always.
It goes always.
Including them supporting you because they are always coming up with new innovations in products. They come out with their own draft sets. They come out with their own cube that you can buy. They come out with battle decks. They come out with beginner decks so you can teach people. They're not just here to sell you magic gear. They're here to help you enjoy the game, to help you teach other people to enjoy the game. Just a wonderful all-around set of people.
They've got a new product out there, too, which is some really cool card tokens that are made with, like, dry erase materials. So you can write on them with dry erase markers. Whatever kind of token you need at the minute, sometimes you're just like, oh, I'm just going to rip off this piece of paper and throw it on the table. Well, what if you were that cool person who was like, hold on, I've got
these
cards.
Here's my little dry erase tokens.
And I made these tokens, and once you don't play that deck anymore, it doesn't matter. You don't have to get rid of them. You just erase them and draw some new ones. I think it's so cool. And those are available at Card Kingdom right now. They tweeted it out the other day and I was like, oh, those are awesome.
Oh, they're so cool.
Yeah, so use the affiliate link cardkingdom.com/glhf if you want to buy anything from them. They're just a pip.
Those are lots of wonderful people. You know who's not wonderful? Amazon. In case you didn't see this week, Amazon Music has said that they're going to start having podcasts on there. But part of the service agreement with podcasters is that you can't badmouth Amazon on your podcast. So I just want to be here saying they're a terrible company. You will not be finding us on Amazon Music. Find us literally anywhere else.
We're everywhere. We come out of your cat's mouth for crying out loud.
That's service. That is service. Do you know what's not service? Union busting. Do you know what's not service? Selling facial recognition technology to ICE. Do you know what's not service? Just Amazon in general.
Somebody else mentioned they were wondering when our podcast would come out of dogs' mouths.
Oh, that's right. You know, if you tune the ears right, it can happen. Really enjoying doing this for the second time, Maria.
It's great. Isn't it great? It's like a dry run. All right, everybody. It's time to talk the State of Design 2020 based on Mark Rosewater's article. If you want to read it for yourself, it's over on dailymtg.com. Like we said, he does this article every year.
Yeah. And this one starts back with Eldraine.
No.
Which was somehow only a year ago.
Unbelievable.
Instead of the 10 years ago that I definitely thought it was.
I was a child when the set came out.
Do you remember Eldraine? Because I don't.
I mean, barely. It was so long ago.
It was so long ago.
This pandemic has made every... Let's think.
What are even some cards in Eldraine?
Every second in a pandemic is actually worth 10 normal seconds.
Which is terrible because you're living 1/10 of a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like you get the happenings of 1/10 of a second, but the length of 10 seconds. Ugh, and it's just 1 second.
Terrible. Terrible for so many reasons. Yeah. Here's another one of them to add to the list.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Is that nothing
pandemic
means anymore. Anyways.
Anyway, time. We'll get to Throne of Eldraine in a second.
Yes.
Before we do, we're going to talk about some overall stuff that Mark mentioned at the top of his article. The first bullet point he hit was that he said, this past year, more Magic has been played by more people than ever before in the history of the game.
How about that? Oh, man.
It's like,
yes, he says
right.
More Magic product was purchased than ever before. Wow. More Magic digital play happened than ever before. Magic as a game is thriving.
I think this is wonderful. And I know this is the second time we recorded this, but I want to say it again, that it's really a point to drive home because a lot of people on the internet, like not a lot of people, but the people living in the corners who are full of farts, often say, oh, we're hurting the game because you're being more inclusive, include more people. You're ruining it. Your base won't want to play it anymore. Your game's going to go under because Magic's dead. Magic's dying. Look at it die. And they're wrong because here you go. Cold hard facts.
Yeah. I anytime someone's like, Magic is dying.
Magic's
you're
dead.
Like, Magic's dead. And you're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, I'll believe it when I see the cop. Just like any time you're told someone is dead,
oh,
ask to see the
God
body.
I just want to imagine what kind of coffin Magic would live in.
I don't know. It would have a full-on crypt.
It would look nice.
Yeah. Anyways, next bullet point, he says, there was plenty of design innovation.
So true.
And this is something that we've touched on a lot in the past year, because obviously there are places where all of this design innovation has created a negative play experience or a negative experience for players overall. But that being said, like, a lot of design innovation happening is a good thing.
Yes.
You don't want the game to keep looking the same over and over and over again.
Gosh, no. That's for other games to deal with. Magic,
exactly.
Thankfully, is one of the games that likes to innovate.
Yes. It evolves. It's a different experience each time you come back to it, which is one of the things that makes it great.
Yeah. And, you know, in this article, he gets into it a little bit more, and we will too, about how to better balance innovation with making sure your format doesn't get out of control because you have created something that's broken. So, you know, I always got to keep an eye on that. Something that was really interesting that he puts here in a bullet point too, that I did not know, is that every set that had the collector boosters sold out.
Wow.
People love the collector boosters.
Well, that's awesome.
I mean, I how many did I ever buy? I think only about one or two. Yeah. But when I opened them, I was just like, wow.
They are really cool to
every
open.
Time. My ones I got were from Throne of Eldraine, and they were gorgeous. Expensive, but gorgeous. And people also loved what they call booster fun, which means the different kind of card styles and stuff available in the sets. And I am here for that.
I agree. Borderless cards are so good.
A+.
And so cool. All of the different kinds of frames, like those... especially the fairy tale frames that they did.
Adventure frames?
Yeah, for Eldraine were like...
So good.
So good. I think that those were some of the best alternative frames that we've seen. Loved them.
A+.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's some overall lessons from the year two. Now, remember, we're talking about all of the sets from the past year. Bullet point number one, we had balance issues.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that this is a thing.
No one's surprised. No one's surprised. Like, what?
Yeah, he said, we had so many bannings this year. Of course, that's not ideal. And we are working hard to correct the issues that led to this year's mistakes.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something we're going to talk about a little bit later, more complexly as he goes through these sets one by one.
Another tie into that is he says we need to get better at thinking about the ramifications on all the different formats.
Yeah. So like basically... this would used to be what they would say is we can only test for standard and limited, and that is it, because that is literally the bandwidth we have as a company to make sure these formats stay okay.
But people want to play Pioneer. They want to play Historic. They want to play Modern. They want to play Legacy and Vintage.
Commander.
Like, they want to play all of these different formats, and it needs to be fun.
I've got to tell you,
fun across all of them.
I think this is the first time that I've actually seen from the mothership this commitment to saying, or at least somebody saying this, that we need to think about testing in these other formats too.
Yeah, for
more, sure. More on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
The final thing he points out is that this year could have been more mechanically cohesive.
This is cool and not something that I've ever thought about before.
Yeah.
But kind of saying, hey, across all of these sets, like, things didn't quite tie together all the time.
Yeah. And that he points to being the part of the reason for that is that there is no more blocks.
Yeah.
So sets used to come out in blocks of three and then blocks of two and now just one.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, well, how do we keep things together? Still like having their own individual identity at these various planes that we travel to, but also play well together in standard or whatever format. A lot easier to do when three of those sets are on the same plane.
Yes.
So they're going to work on that moving forward. And he says, this is something that we still have a long way to go on and a lot of stuff to learn yet in the future as we continue to live in this blockless world. All right. First set up, Throne of Eldraine.
Yeah. Wow.
Somehow
only a year ago.
Oil. Yeah. Yes. This is unbelievable that this was just a year ago. Okay. So highlights here. It was a top-down design set, which means they had the concept for the set, which was a fairy tale slash Knights of King Arthur kind of flavored set. And then, boom, they design everything underneath that. A+. It was a hit.
And Mark says, we know he's been pushing for this.
For 10 years.
Yes. And there was skepticism from some people that it was not a good idea.
Yeah. We interviewed Mark Rosewater. You can go find this on our YouTube page, youtube.com/goodluckhighfive. And he talked about how like he initially came into this role and he's like, fairy tale set, we're doing it. And everyone was like, no, get out. You're mad. You're mad, Mark Rosewater.
You're crazy.
How could you?
And he is.
But he was also right.
But he was also right.
Yeah. This set was amazing. I love the theme, and it looks like so did everybody else.
And he said it's Throne of Eldraine wasn't a hit in spite of the fairy tales, but because of them.
That's a great point.
He says also the audience enjoyed the softer tone. So he said part of that worry was that, you know, they worried that people didn't want a lighter toned set.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, they haven't always had a good track record with sets that are a little bit lighter. But he said that this exhibits the ways that Magic's audience is growing and changing and embracing, you know, a wider variety of types of sets and tones from Magic.
I love it. And this goes directly into what we talked about at the start of this, which was that more people are playing Magic than ever before, and we're widening that player base, meaning that we're going to have more opportunities for more unique environments and cool things to happen in Magic, and they're being supported by that player base now. So everyone's so like
great. It should still be a place for hardcore fantasy, you know, like Ravnica style stuff, but also there needs to be room for other, you know, like lighter
more playful exactly. stuff, which is like we've been talking about that on the show a lot, I think. Yeah, you know,
absolutely.
And it looks like everybody are not everybody, but like, you know, lots of people yes. enjoyed it.
And lastly, he says adventure cards were loved. And what can we say except like, heck yes.
Yes, yes, those cards what are so good. What a great mechanic. When we come to the end of the year, we award our Crimbys. Yes. And I feel like adventure...
It's definitely going to be in consideration. Wait, did it win last year, though? Because it was from, like, last year. This is from, like, the last year of Magic Design, which goes August to August.
Okay, man. We probably did award it last year.
Who knows?
I'll look it up, just give
it to it again.
Yeah.
But adventure, like, what a cool thing.
Good early, good late, flexible. These are the things we look for in an award-winning, Crimbio-winning mechanic.
Next up, lessons from Throne of Eldraine.
Yeah, so number one lesson, of course, Oko.
Too many elk.
Yeah.
And, you know, he mentions in here, and I think when we were first reading over this article, Maria was, you know, like at the other computer in the office, and she was like, there's some stuff in here that you would think, oh yeah, duh. Like, guess what? Turning something into an elk shouldn't have been a plus ability. It should have been a minus ability.
Yeah, for sure. It feels like so many other planeswalkers, like, I guess maybe some of them plus to protect themselves, but they certainly don't, like, take...
Turn
someone else's things
into elks.
That as well? Like...
I don't know.
Really way too powerful.
It was just so powerful.
Yeah. Oko, we barely knew you.
Yeah, that... Especially with like turning something into an elk, that the problem with it being a positive, like a plus loyalty ability, is that you can just do it again and again and again and again. There's no cost to it for your planeswalker. No. It's actively beneficial and you can just keep elking things forever.
Elking things forever. What the elking? Elk, Oko. And yeah, and I'm sure Wizards of the Coast took a huge hit with, you know, they had to eventually ban Oko, Thief of Crowns, and he was kind of like their hallmark planeswalker of that set, which you never want to see.
I know.
So I'm sure they took that lesson and they took it hard.
Did really make a conversation point for Magic.
So true.
Like, what a talking point. I guess that really... You know, it was a successful hallmark in that sense.
That's true.
Yes.
Another lesson from Throne of Eldraine was another one of their mechanics. Let me see if you remember this one. Adamant.
Yeah.
And it was forgetful.
Yes. He said, like, it's kind of, it's the, you know, it's the mechanic in the set that was like, it was there.
Yeah, it had happened.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he says that this is a lesson. I do kind of wonder, you know, if we look at... adventure and we're like what a hallmark, what a cool thing, like is it possible and is it even healthy for a set to have three of those?
I don't know.
Like I would argue that sometimes you need the adamant, which is like it's a role player,
it does a thing,
it influences the limited environment for sure,
yeah,
but it's not going to be a huge piece of what this set looks like in constructed.
I agree. I think it was so, completely fine. It was it was forgettable. Yes, you're absolutely right, but
I would argue it's okay for a mechanic of multiple mechanics in a set for something to be.
Yeah. Didn't impact me negatively playing the set.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Limited was kind of slow. He also puts as a lesson mostly due to food tokens.
Yeah.
Which you know, you can see that coming from a mile away.
Yep. I mean, I didn't mind that as much, but I understand that players aren't always looking for massively long limited games when they're playing.
All right. What other set happened? Theros Beyond Death.
Theros Beyond Death. I can't believe, like, it's so funny because I think we talked for years, literally, Maria, you and I were like, we need to go back to Theros.
Yep.
Let's go back to Theros. When are we going back to Theros?
And then it happened.
Now it's behind us.
That's so wild.
It really is. We obviously loved going back to Theros.
And so did a lot of other people because his top highlight from Theros Beyond Death is that people loved going back to Theros.
Yes.
It's a great plane.
It's a great plane. So much fun.
And I think that something that, you know, kind of the push and pull of going back to a plane, especially when like Theros is, Mark talks about, hey, what do we give players that they love from the first time this came around? And what can't we give them? Because we only have so many card slots, because we're only doing one block for any given set here from here on out, unless it's something special. You know, they couldn't put everything in the set that people wanted.
Yeah.
And he was sad about that. But also, you know, come on, people. You can't do everything every time.
I, for one, was very happy that Constellation returned.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Constellation fan. And I think Devotion, like, those are just two iconic mechanics to me.
Yes.
Ones that I love, ones that I remember. And he calls out Bestow as something later on.
Yeah.
He calls out Bestow as something that didn't come back, that was missing.
And look, I am one of the people that was sad about Bestow, for sure, because that was my favorite part of original Theros. But I wasn't really like so upset that I didn't want to play it or was mad about it, because I know that if they go back to Theros again, which I'm sure we will, because people seem to love it, that Bestow will be there. Like more likely than not, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love enchantment creatures.
Yes.
We can always talk about Theros more.
Theros.
We love it. Like that we got to see Elspeth again.
Yep.
That we got to see the gods again.
Yep.
Which are such a nice, right? We've always had the planeswalkers, not always, obviously, but in recent Magic memory, there's always been like the planeswalkers as your color alignment.
Right.
And I love that the gods offer a different way to express, like,
that's a great way to put it.
I love being a blue player. Yep. And I for sure identify more with Thassa than I do with Jace.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Like,
absolutely.
For sure.
It's another, I would love for them to explore that space more. I'd be like, oh, hey, we're going to talk, we're going to show you your alignment and what kind of player you are, what kind of deck this is through some kind of hallmark that's not a planeswalker.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that like one of the cool things about Theros is that it has that for sure. They say players also liked Underworld and Escape, which, they were super cool.
I thought Escape was great. Mm-hmm. Really cool mechanic. And I can hear the chains clinking in my head now.
Yes,
on
every
Arena.
Time something escapes.
Ding, 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 ding.
He also mentions that, like, the Underworld was a way for them to return to Theros, but also show, like, a new face of this plane.
Ah, sure.
Which
absolutely.
I think is very cool and very smart of like, we'll go back to Theros, but like, what if we show you a part of it that we never explored at all before?
Great idea. And I'm sure they can do that on other planes too.
Yep.
Sagas, also a big hit, which we are the biggest Saga fans you've ever seen.
They're so good.
Hello.
When we talk about going back to when he was talking about overall like design space and design innovation, Sagas were from a couple of years ago with Dominaria.
Yeah.
But like what a perfect example.
Yes.
Of pushing design space and coming up with something that is just a massive, beautiful addition to the game.
Yes. And they will come back, I'm sure. And we'll see them in more sets because they are so, so wonderful at exactly what they do.
They're so cool.
And to play like, in a completely new creative space without being busted.
Sagas. Amazing.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
We could go on all day.
Yep.
Episode 3. What are we on?
395. 96
will be all about how much we love Sagas.
Just Sagas.
For an entire hour.
Get ready.
Buckle up, buckos.
Yeah. But hitting on a couple of the lessons from Theros Beyond Death.
Yes. Number one, we missed some returning things. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
I don't really care about this one. I'm like, whatever. People can get over it.
It kind of feels like the Adamant thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, do you know what? You can't do everything. You can't do everything.
This is impossible.
Then it would be too much.
Yeah.
Like there weren't all of, like not all of the gods returned.
Some Titans were missing. Okay, well, they'll probably come next time.
And I mean, this one, to be fair, is a real critique. The story was underwhelming. There was so much cool stuff. Like, I think part of returning to Theros was people have wondered, literally since the original Theros, what happened to Elspeth?
Yeah.
And what was going to be the next part of the saga of Elspeth?
Right. And we still don't know.
Exactly.
The set happened and we don't know.
Like, we technically know, like, she escaped the underworld, but there was, like, a whole bunch of stuff that they were just kind of like, oh, behind the scenes, these things are happening. Like, there's these titans, and because she got out, all these other people got out, and there were champions for the different gods that came from the underworld, and it was kind of a mess.
Yeah, so Mark Rosewater said there was no book for this set, of course, so the weight of the storytelling fell to the cards, and while the story was reflected in the set, it just wasn't a compelling presentation for the audience that had waited so long for the story.
I think there's places, right, like Ikoria, I'm like, I'm okay, I don't need to know.
Yes.
It's fine. Yeah. I enjoyed it as a set, the way it was presented. But it, like I said, like so much of going back to Theros was about what happened to Elspeth for so many players.
Absolutely. And so that story definitely missed their magic, if you're listening. Ikoria is up next.
Yeah.
Ikoria. I loved Ikoria.
Oh, so much fun.
So look, we're just looking back at these memories, Eldraine, Theros, and now we're on Ikoria, and all three of them were like, we love them.
Bangers.
Yeah, three this is bangers great.
Back to back.
I mean, of course, there were the problems that we talked about.
Yes.
But even so, when we're just looking like top down, high level view of these sets, every one of them I have a very positive reaction to.
Yes. And Ikoria, talking again about kind of like the more lighthearted element of it,
yeah,
of like with all the big monsters.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so he says like one of the highlights for sure, players liked the monster theme.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I thought it was so cool. I loved the mechanics.
Yes.
I loved the cool little animals you could make like with Mutate. And I know they weren't like becoming something else as what we originally thought would kind of happen, but like they kind of were.
Yeah, they do. It's very cool. And he said, you know, I think tied into that, players embraced higher complexity.
Yes.
And the complexity in Ikoria is pretty high. Like Mutate has a lot going on.
Mutate is very complicated. And I remember thinking when it came out, like, ooh, are people going to understand this? Is this going to be a problem? And I think part of the reason that it turned out okay, honestly, was that Ikoria was on Arena.
Yes.
We are not playing in real life. So a lot of the problems that you might have had come up just didn't come up
because
Arena do it
very
for
legit.
You.
Yeah, and because it was at the start of the pandemic.
I don't know.
And so it had a way lower tabletop presence.
Yeah.
Because of that. And I also think, and he mentions this, like Mutate is also so fun.
It's so super fun
and it's such a cool mechanic. Like you're willing to work it out.
Yes.
You're willing to just be like, yeah, I will 100% like deal with the complexity of this and navigating that with my opponent because it's such a cool thing.
It's
like,
worth it.
It's absolutely worth it. And he mentions that as like being, I think, an important part of that.
And, you know, he also mentions, hey, you know, this is complex. We're not going to do it all the time, but it was kind of a test to see would people balk at how complex this format is moving forward. And since they didn't and people liked it, we're probably going to get stuff like this again.
Nice.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Next up, players enjoyed the limited gameplay. Heck yes.
Yes.
Really fun limited set.
We talked about this a couple episodes ago, too, that R&D has been knocking it out of the park with these limited sets.
Yes.
Honestly.
Like the limited experience of Ikoria. So fun.
We had a great time in all of these.
Yes. You could play so many different, like there were so many different decks that you could draft, so many different strategies. And like all of the cards were cool. I just loved every time I sat down to draft Ikoria, I was excited to do it.
Yes.
I wanted to see what would happen next.
And let it be known that it was exciting, not because I played my big bomb mythic rare that I happened to crack in pack number 3. It was exciting because of the mechanics, the way the mechanics work together, and the individual cards in the set that we were using our brain powers to assemble into a really cool and cohesive deck, which plays into our episode on fire, or kind of like the philosophy of design moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and he says that players fancied the tie-in, which was that, like, you know, people just had a good time with it. It was cool. It wasn't for me, like, it wasn't something that I was wild about, but it was cool. I enjoyed it. And I know that other players were, like, very enthused about it.
I liked it because we got alternate art of the cards.
Yeah, that's true. Anything that presents some alternate art is very cool.
And so on Arena, I'm always like, ooh, I want the one that's full art, cool Godzilla frame, obviously.
Yes.
But yeah, the name, we talked about this before, too. The naming being different is a little confusing for me, but I really liked the different art design.
Yeah, they were very cool. First up on the lessons category. First up in the lessons category, companions.
All right, so Oko was the first big thing we learned about. Companions, even worse.
The first line under companions just says, this wasn't just the biggest mistake of the set, this was the biggest mistake of the year.
Wow.
And that was a year that also included Oko.
Oh boy.
That's really something. He said, we made something that was so environment warping, and not just in one format, but in almost all formats, that we had to errata how the mechanic worked.
Yeah, and he kind of explains that companions, they were trying to play in this design space of extra complexity, like we mentioned for Ikoria, for the players. But what they didn't count on is that translates also into added complexity for your balance team, for your playtesting team, for people designing the cards. And they couldn't keep up with that.
Yeah.
And so that's how that kind of problem happened. You might be out there saying, well, duh, but here's the thing. Hindsight is 2020, which is a saying. I don't know if it works anymore.
I don't think so. Hindsight better not be 2020. We all just forget this year.
We're all going to eternal sunshine of the spotless mind ourselves.
Yes. Everyone will be like, hi, it's 2021.
Oh, wow, 2021.
What happened to 2020? Nobody
knows. And somebody
knows.
With a cane, like grizzled and like long hairs. Don't ask that question. You don't want to know the answer. But one person wants to know the answer. That person, Keanu Reeves. Keanu.
What?
I'm making the movie.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you were describing eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. And I was like, I don't think...
Starring Keanu Reeves. Yeah, totally.
We're talking about, anyways.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So they struggled with that. They like, hey, we're doing all this cool thing for the players, but the extra burden on them, it didn't turn out well. So he fully acknowledges that this was a huge blunder and that they are working on making it, not happen in the future. Mm-hmm.
Next up, he says there was confusion over what kind of monster set it was. There were so many different monster tropes in here that I think it kind of was like people were like, we don't feel like you delivered on what you promised with big monsters.
Yeah. So like some people thought it would be more like he mentions Rise of the Eldrazi, where it was making giant creatures. And in this case, he was like, no, that wasn't really what we meant. We just wanted you to make cool monsters.
Yes. And like bonding with monsters.
Yeah. And, they're your friends and whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah,
I think that's a fair point.
Yep. And last up, he says unhappiness about the disconnect with the story.
Yeah.
Which, as we mentioned, like I felt like that was fine for me in this one because we had come from... Theros, where we were like, we wish that there was a story and there wasn't. And it was like, do you know what? I'm glad that this doesn't have a story that I'm looking for and isn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, like, how could there be? It was a new set, new plane, you know, and there wasn't ever, I don't feel like maybe I missed it, but I mean, in the trailer, Vivian was like fighting some things.
Yeah.
But...
apparently there's a book.
Okay.
Anyways. I guess we can mark that one down as like, yeah, because we don't care.
Well, we don't know what we're not missing.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Corset 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Is up next.
Corsets, notoriously just more of like a back to the basics.
Yep. Kind of a palate cleanser. They often describe them that way.
Yeah.
And in this, the highlights from Corset 2021, players enjoyed the terminology changes. Yes. Hello. We're both in this camp, meaning hounds were changed to dogs. And mill was added as a keyword.
That's right. Dogs. And dogs are great.
Dogs are great. Good pups. Yep.
He says players loved the reprints. Yeah. Like... Grim Tutor, Eugene. Oh, I love Eugene.
Eugene,
Eugene the Spirit Dragon. Yes, please.
I shouldn't love Eugene. I do love Eugene.
Solemn Simulacrum.
Great. Oh,
so.
I was like on Arena. You can see now old cards with the word mill on them.
Yeah.
Because of Amonkhet Remastered, which we've been playing a lot of.
Oh, so much.
It's really fun, everybody.
We'll talk about that next week probably because it's so good.
It's really good. But seeing some on there, mill yourself. For like mill two cards or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool to see that automatically implemented on older cards.
He says players like Planeswalker vertical cycles and frames. So those were the cards that like with Teferi, like each one had its color. And then they had, you know, their Teferi and Teferi's tutelage and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. People also like the shrines in this set. Yeah. I think the shrines were cool. I wish they were a little bit more supported. There wasn't like a super great payoff for drafting like a bunch of shrines or anything like mm-hmm. that, but I like to see them because they're a unique kind of magic card, same way that I'm like, oh yeah, sagas are awesome.
Yeah. Do you know what? I noticed he doesn't touch on the lighter tone in this one too, because that was something that I think we really enjoyed, especially during preview season, and it seemed like people really enjoyed with the cats and dogs.
Oh yeah, that's a great point.
You know, yep. mm-hmm. like I think I would count that as like a success of the set.
Yes.
For sure. Like a highlight of Corset 2021 was like Pack Leader.
Yep.
What a cool card. People
Rin
loved.
And Sari.
Yes.
Inseparable.
Exactly. People loved when those, like Pride Sovereign.
I can't remember people getting more excited about like preview cards that weren't
exactly.
like mega, mega powerful.
Yes.
Than these cards.
But people were just like, yes, look at this, you know.
I'm going to make a cat and dog deck. And exactly. that was like one of the first things that I did. And people were like, oh, is cats and dogs viable? And while it really wasn't in standard, you know, for a few reasons, but also because like it just wasn't competitive enough. Like people wanted to do it.
Yes.
People wanted to make creative and weird, unique decks built around a lighter theme.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty good.
For sure.
Lessons. Issues with Teferi.
Mostly people were traumatized by Teferi in the past.
People were like, Teferi, and people, yeah. No.
People were very skeptical that they would enjoy anything that Teferi was the face of, because Teferi had made life unenjoyable for so long.
No, Teferi, no. Please don't. Don't bounce my creature. Oh, God.
And obviously there were more planeswalkers than just Teferi.
Yeah.
And he's totally fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Phew. Every time they print a Teferi that's not broken, everyone's going to be like, a dodgeable yes. there. Wow.
And he talks about like in Corset 2021, Chandra had three cards because she was the face of that.
Yes.
You know, they had mythic, rare, and uncommon Chandra. Yep. And people were like, not three Teferis? No.
I think that's so funny. And they expected more mechanical ties to Teferi because Teferi was the face of Corset 2021, yeah. but that didn't really happen. And I think that's fair. Like, yeah. I feel like Magic Origins was, you know, a really cool Corset because it had that theme of yes. seeing the origins of all these planeswalkers. And I know, like, Corsets aren't
origins
really
is
about
like the,
that.
The
but
peak
like,
of a Corset.
Yeah.
Though. So
that,
it's so hard
to compare.
I think that's
a good goal to shoot for. I mean, why not?
Absolutely. Last up, Jumpstart.
Jumpstart!
So cool.
We love Jumpstart.
What a fun thing.
It was so great. And you know what? We're not the only ones that think that. Mark Rosewater's number one highlight for Jumpstart is that everybody loved it.
Yes.
It was great. What a great idea. He says, ever since Doug Beyer came up to me and said, hey, what about this Jumpstart thing? And pitched him the idea. Mm-hmm. The question he gets now is like, when are you going to make another Jumpstart?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What a fabulous plan. What a way to get people into draft. It's super easy.
Yep.
Boom, here's your deck. You've got a fun and silly combination that you can mm-hmm. make, which once again, lighter theme was a hit.
Absolutely.
Gonna keep hitting the hammer on that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really liked it, and I really liked how many silly decks you could get. Like Tree Hugging Lands was one of my decks, and I thought that was great.
Great. Lessons, he says. I mean, the top one is... like not a real problem, just that there's not enough of it.
Yeah.
Which is a pandemic issue. Like the print run was smaller. And so there's just like, people just want more of the product.
Yeah.
Which is an all right problem to have.
Seems like a good problem.
And he said that some themes that people wanted weren't there because Magic has a lot of themes. And so they could not cover every single one. But if and when they do another Jumpstart product.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll get to see some of those ones that weren't in there this time.
Yeah, I love Jumpstart. I thought it was great. It reminded me of an unset a little bit, but more like a normal Magic set than an unset, really. And it's off Arena now, which a lot of people are pretty sad about because it is such a great entry point into playing Limited. But, you know, hopefully they make another one or bring that back again.
Yeah.
Because I had a great time playing it.
It was so much fun.
So there you go. There's a look at the year in review in design. Mark Rosewater says, by the way, he loves to get feedback on these articles specifically. So we're going to tweet him this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can also tweet at him and let him know exactly what you thought about any of these points he raises in this article, because he specifically likes feedback on these articles he writes for Daily MTG and asks for it specifically. Yeah. So there you go.
Overall, Maria, give me your thoughts on the last year of Magic.
I think... it went a lot of really interesting places, and I am 100% thumbs up through the roof for all of the interesting and unique things that we tried. I am thumbs down through the floor for not having the support in place for all of these awesome and cool things to be tried successfully enough so that we didn't have to deal with all of these bans.
Yeah.
So that's my, those are my two big bullet points. How about you?
I think my, like, one of my biggest ones is that, like, I think that we have permanently raised the bar on draft.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point.
It has now been consistently excellent.
Yes.
And it's happened, like, across enough sets where it's like, oh, this is just, it's making me rethink what I want from a draft experience. Ooh. That I think that now if we went back to, like, a draft experience from, like, Dragon's Maze or something I would be like, what is this? Like, I've now come to expect better.
What,
like,
they've
been
card?
Doing consistently better at making a great draft experience.
Yeah, and we cannot,
I think that's very cool,
understate that enough. I mean, oversell that enough.
This is like what we said about Gabe in the seat at the World Championship.
Oh yeah, when Maria just roasted
by complete accident.
Never fails to disappoint.
Oh my god, unbelievable. Never fails to impress everybody, okay?
Never fails to disappoint. Yeah. And and I think I would agree that just, like, I think that it just feels chaotic to me with how much, like, every set being so powerful and trying to introduce so much power into it and then having to be like, oh no, reel it back in.
Yeah.
It's felt chaotic. And that's been my,
that's a great point. My
negative takeaway.
Yeah. And we had our episode about how to potentially fix some of those issues with play design and play testing.
With a method that we call, instead of fire, FURB.
Hey, the FURB method works, yes. Megan. It works.
I mean, yet to be tested, but FURB. All right, you ready to crack this gross, gross pack?
It's time for another sad pack opening.
All right, this, like we said, is Eternal Masters.
It already, I can smell it from here.
Ugh,
it's not that new pack smell, everybody.
I know. Let's see if, I wonder if we're even going to be able to, like, figure out how much value was in here.
They might be so, I'm going to go to Card Kingdom and look up these card prices.
Okay, we had what I think was a foil Mog War Marshal.
Can we be sure about that?
No, we can't be sure it was foil.
Mog War Marshal. Checking it out now.
I mean, it's just a common, so I think.
$1.29.
All right. I mean, you got to...
you got to put it in the calculator.
Yep.
Okay,
I found a rare. It just... Luckily, the rare came off.
Oh, okay.
The rare is Entomb.
Oh, is it a foil?
No, this one is not.
Okay.
We do have a foil back here, though.
Entomb... $17.99.
All right. Add it. You need to make a little spreadsheet.
I've got to find one with, like, you can put in multiple inputs. Multiple inputs.
What?
For a calculator.
Oh, just open the Excel tab.
Here we go. Oh, okay. I don't know how to use Excel.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Entomb, however much that was.
Okay. That was $17.99.
All right. Ooh, here's a foil Deadbridge Shaman.
Okay, enter $17.99 foil Deadbridge Shaman. Mm-hmm. What does that card do?
It says when it dies, target opponent discards a card.
Deadbridge Shaman. Let's see, is there a foil version? Because it's like 25 cents normal.
Oh, well, I even put it in at just 25.
Okay, 25 cents. 25 cents.
I found our token. I don't know that I'm gonna get our land out of here.
Oh, I had Mog War Marshal, which is like a buck something or other. Oh, that one was $129. All adding $129.
If there's a land in that pack, we're not finding it.
Okay.
Ooh, here we go. Ancestral Mask.
Ooh, I love that card.
Yeah, of course you do.
Where are my enchantments at? Ancestral Mask, $129 once again.
All right.
$129.
Prismatic Lens.
Okay. Prismatic Lens.
Oh, this is just
nasty. That one's 69 cents. Nice.
Let's see.
These are actually coming out better than the other ones.
I mean, so far, I think once we get to the front of the pack, the back of the pack was slightly better. Oh, Maria, it's another enchantment. It's Armadillo Cloak.
Oh, Armadillo Cloak. I love you.
Armadillo Cloak.
I'm just happy there's a card Magic with the word armadillo on it. Let's be real.
Fair enough.
$199.
Twisted Abomination.
Okay. Sounds like an 80s band.
Ugh.
Twisted Abomination, drum roll please, 29 cents. 29 cents. I feel like we're playing the prices right here.
Yeah. Nature's Claim. Oh, this is moldy between here.
Oh, no.
Gross.
Hey, man. Water damage. Not a joke. We're not joking.
Gross.
Nature's Claim. Let's go.
Nature's Claim. 49 cents.
Wow. Why is that more expensive? We'll never know. I guess more sideboards.
Tidal Wave.
Tidal Wave? All yeah. right.
Maria's laughing at how I'm holding these cards, which
it's
is
very funny.
Away from my body.
25 cents. 25 cents. Add a quarter. Add a quarter.
Oh, Curd Ape.
Oh, Curd Ape. All right. Curd Ape. What are we looking at here, Mr. Ape? 25 cents.
Oh, Blossoming Sands.
Oh, Curd Ape. 25 cents. Hold on. Throwing a quarter in the bucket. Blossoming Sands. One moment.
Yeah.
That's why I was not an accountant, everybody. Well, I mean, one of the reasons.
One of many reasons.
29 cents. 29.
Stupefying Touch. I don't remember this one. One in a blue. Enchantment. Enchant creature. When it enters the battlefield, draw a card. Enchanted creature's activated abilities can't be activated.
How do you spell stupefying?
S-T-U-P-E-F-Y-I-N-G.
Ah.
Oh, I'm going to go wash my hands.
Gosh, that one's not even coming up.
Okay. Commune oh, wait, I spelled with it wrong. The gods.
I spelled it wrong, oh, okay. Everybody. It's 25 cents. Oh, commune with the gods, yeah.
I'm scratching my nose with a microphone because I don't want to touch my face with my hands.
There's been four commune cards. Oh. That one's also a quarter. All right, I this pack like is not proving to be very profitable for us.
I mean, yeah. Oh, what I do don't got? Know what this is.
It just looks like a weird hand.
Some kind of elf druid.
It's always a mystery game here. What is this card?
Okay, wait. Here we go. I have part of the name.
I don't know. I'm going to put 25 cents in for it, though.
Blight.
Oh, Blight?
Blight oh, Soil? Yeah.
Blight. Not Blight Soil Druid.
Yeah.
We got there. 25 cents. We were right. It was 25.
All right. Ballynock Cohort.
B-A-L-L?
B-A-L-L-Y-N-O-C-K.
Cohort. Ballynock Cohort. Wow, I do not remember these cards.
Me
also
neither.
Quarter. Huh.
All right. It's Mogwart Marshall.
All right, so the total, grand total of this Eternal Masters Flood Pack, 2607.
All right. Well, we'll go find whoever is closest to 20, like Price is Right?
Yeah.
Closest without going over?
Yeah.
All right.
And 2607 will be donated to the charity of their choice. Thanks for playing along, everybody. If you didn't play along, you know, follow us on Twitter over at GLHF Magic, and you can play along with us for fun games like Flood Damage Cards.
Really fun. Really,
and, you
really
know,
fun.
Just great content overall. Do you want to wash your hands?
I you really do. Those but raccoon let's, paws? You know, yeah. Let's wrap up this episode so I can go wash my hands.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's time to say thank you to our other sponsor of the show. It's Ultra Pro.
That's right. Ultra Pro makes some of the coolest stuff with great magic art. Look at this playmat.
Look at this cat.
Maria is holding the cutest cat playmat. It's gorgeous. It's happy.
Aww. It's from the cat's secret lair.
Oh, it's so
release,
joyful.
Which it's really cool because, like you said, Ultra Pro always does really awesome art on their products.
Mm-hmm.
And here you go, secret lair art of the kitty cats.
So if you want to celebrate all of the different cool ways that magic is diversifying the art on magic cards.
Oh, yes.
Like Ultra Pro is just one of the coolest places you can go to do that. They also have, like we were talking in this episode about the Throne of Eldraine adventure cards.
Yes.
And they have art from those adventure cards on playmats.
Look at this one. Hello.
Yes. Oh my god,
this is from
it's
which
so good.
This is another secret lair art.
Yeah,
you all are gonna tell me in the comments. I can't remember
because I don't remember which one either is. But I just like I keep thinking about like the Order of Midnight playmat that they have.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
It's that art is so gorgeous and that playmat is so cool. So Ultra Pro, great place to go if you want to bling out your yes. play experience with some of the best art out there.
Absolutely. Check out your LGS. Lots doing curbside pickup for all sorts of really cool stuff like this. Or, you know, Card Kingdom, another great place to find all of your Ultra Pro gear. And why not gear up while you're playing at home? You know what I mean? That's episode 395 of Good Luck High Five. We are 5 away from 400.
Which, you know, means another musical episode.
Holy cow, I'm so excited.
Oh, same.
We better start writing some songs, Megan.
Wow, we really should. If you think of a song title that you think should be in the episode, you can tweet at us at GLHFmagic.
Somebody did. I don't know when, like a few, like maybe a month ago, when they're like, don't forget about this when you do your musical. What was it?
I know which one it was.
Do you remember?
It's the person who asked if our episode that talked about Black Lives Matter was a lesbian joke.
Oh my God. It was, I swear it was not, was it really that?
Yeah,
someone's like, this has to be the song.
Yeah.
Oh, what
maybe
a great
song
title.
But I remember that one for sure. Shout out to people who take the time to listen just so they can leave mean comments. Y'all are really doing the devil's work.
A lesbian joke. Great song title.
Yes.
And you better believe it's being written.
Oh, yeah. Anyways.
Magic is a lesbian joke, just honestly.
Yes. That's been our episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you also to everyone who keeps the show alive and thriving, including all of our patrons, including Card Kingdom, including Ultra Pro, including the haters who leave weird comments.
Absolutely. They give me life. Megan
knows
this. Could
not do it without you.
We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much, everybody, for always watching. You can find us anywhere on any social media platform at GLHFmagic. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/goodluckhighfive. Remember to ding the bell as well as subscribe so you get notifications when our videos are posted. We're posting 2 a week at this point. We're going to ramp that up hopefully in the near future.
Yeah.
Get some more content out there. We've also got a board game YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLHFboardgames if you're looking for some awesome reviews of new games or stuff to play in your life with our game guy, Nicholas. And, you know, we just do it all.
And
of course,
really
support the show and keep us on the airwaves, coming out of your cat's ear and now your dog's mouth. Wait, your cat's ear?
Your cat's mouth. Might be weird. Unlike hearing it from your cat's
mouth. That's totally normal. That's
very normal. Here's weird.
Over at patreon.com/GLHFmagic. Thanks, everybody. We out.
I'm really gonna go wash my hands.